It's an unassuming A-frame building across from Ketchikan's American Legion Post. At one point, it was a warehouse for the city's water department. Then a youth-focused nonprofit took it over to use as a community center. And now it's providing dry, warm beds for Ketchikan's homeless population. Russell is one of the folks that spends the night in that building. To protect his privacy, I agreed not to use his full name.
I came up here to see family and basically possibly say goodbyes.
He says doctors told him he had a 40% chance of living beyond a year after a heart valve infection. That was 2 years ago. But this fall, he says he lost his home after a dispute with his roommate.
I got kicked out and the police asked me, "You got anywhere to go? It's snowing outside." I was like, "No, I don't." They couldn't do anything. They couldn't help me out at all. I went and crawled underneath the Tongass parking lot and tried to roll up in some like web blankets to try to stay warm.
He says he did manage to keep warm that night under the docks, but it's a little easier now since Ketchikan's overnight warming center has reopened. Since 2017, First City Homeless Services has operated a warming shelter to prevent people without homes from dying of exposure during Ketchikan's long, dark, wet winter. Juno operates a similar facility on nights when temps dip below freezing. Ketchikan's is open every night during the winter. First City Homeless Services Program Supervisor Danita Odell says exposure is a big problem, and not just in the colder months.
In July and August, we lost three members of the homeless community. One went to sleep and just never woke up on a night in July. Particularly stormy night, windy, very wet. And as far as we know, that was due to exposure. We lost one gentleman in the Narrows and one gentleman to an overdose.
But this year, that overnight shelter didn't open as it usually would. On October 15th, the basement of First United Methodist Church remained sealed off. Odell says it's only through sheer luck she hasn't heard of any reported deaths. But she says she doesn't blame the church. She says poor ventilation in the basement made it a non-starter.
Once we were dealing with COVID, there was just no way that we could operate there.
A church basement isn't prime for social distancing either.
So most of them were within 2 feet of each other, sleeping on the just vinyl over top of concrete floor. No blankets, no pillows, no bedding of any kind allowed in that shelter because there's no sprinkler system, no fire suppression system or fire alarm system other than just smoke detectors.
In April, the shelter relocated to the borough-owned rec center. But about a month later, it closed as the rec center prepared to reopen to the public. That left them without any good options this fall. Then the city of Ketchikan stepped in. The city council voted to repossess the warehouse they'd given to a youth organization. It was supposed to be a community center for at-risk kids, but unfinished renovations and unpaid bills meant the facility was rarely open. Renovations to complete the shelter are still underway. But two dozen cots now occupy the main floor and the basement.
So as you can see, it's not all finished. We're still waiting on flooring to get put in and trim and stuff like that, but we're chipping away at the punch list, getting really close to being finished. I'll take you down this way real quick.
Odell says they're working on outfitting two more rooms, specifically for people who have to quarantine or for people who need bed rest after spending time in the hospital.
So when we have participants who are hospitalized and then they're discharged from the hospital, we see a really high rate of them getting returned to the hospital because they don't have a place to recover from like surgeries or, you know, more serious illnesses. So our hope is that we get to the point of being able to set these up.
Down the road, Odell says First City Homeless Services and the city plan to build an addition to the building to serve meals. Much of the budget for the renovations comes from federal grants. Russell, the patron, says the new shelter is a big help. But he says there's more that could be done to support homeless people in Ketchikan. He's been working odd jobs, busting rocks, chopping wood, but he's a tradesman. He's hung drywall. He'd like to get his general contractor's license and go to school to be an electrician.
What's really helpful is like a temporary work agency.
A temporary work agency, he says, would make it easier to make ends meet. One-off odd jobs just don't cut it. Another person at the shelter suggested another idea, a locker to store their belongings, like tools. There are no hard numbers on the size of Ketchikan's homeless population. A survey of the city's shelters on one night this past January counted 53 people. But Odell says there are at least 80 after taking into account people forced to live in cars or on boats or couch surf with friends and family. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.